once again, and welcome to On the Brink Radio with Jeff Phillips Wefferson. This is the 13th of April, 2018. That is the year of our Lord, 2018 AD, Anno Domino. I'm sitting here at the Mermaid Pool, or Wa'a Wa'a, on the big island of Moku'akeawe. Probably a more politically correct name for the big island of Hawaii. There's giant waves splashing. You'll hear the sound. I don't think I'll get soaked, but it's splashing on the ground, and the tidal pool's about 4 meters from me. There's one there. I'm going to go swimming in it in a little bit. Today's show is about a word, a topic, a concept that's really hot in mass media and in the on the public radar in the world today. It's a three-letter word, W-A-R, or for an Australian or New Zealand, it's ah, W-A-R, war, or as we'd say in American English, war, war. And I love that song by Edwin Starr, War. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it, say it, say it again. Good God. This episode, number 244 of On the Brink Radio, is a look at what war actually is, what we mean by it, what I think it really means. It's something that I've talked about a lot. Like, in the world of today, we're always hearing about that we're on the brink of nuclear war with Russia or China. Or there's the war in Syria, or the war in Palestine, or the war in Iraq, or the war in Libya, or war with Iran is impending, and war with everybody. Invasion by aliens. War is as old as civilization itself. And to me, is the main effect of civilization. Now, I'm repeating myself for anybody that's ever listened to me talk about this before. Civilization means, literally, it's from the word civitas in Latin, it means city. So civilized literally means living in cities. If we look at the history of civilization, it goes back to the most ancient city-states. Babylon, Sumeria, Chaldea, these pre-biblical city-states that were essentially fortresses that the people lived in. But along with civilization, living in a city or a city-state, it's implicit that if you're living in a fort, you've got a military, and that the main thing the military is going to do is either wage war and or defend you against others that are going to wage war. And so we have to distinguish between what we mean by war and killing, violence, conflict, battles, destructiveness, which I don't know because I wasn't there, but it could well be that especially with Homo sapiens, man the wise, I'm not talking about Cro-Magnon man or Neanderthal or any of the other numerous hypotheses, species that may have existed. We don't know their behavioral repertoire, but we do know that Homo sapiens has been conducting organized killing and destructiveness for a really long time. And it's so embedded and entrenched and ingrained in our behavior that we might even venture to say that war is our nature. And not just war as traditionally defined in a military sense, but war in the sense of the effects of our patterns of living and behavior on Mother Earth and our fellow beings. I guess the difference between killing and violence and battles is that what we mean by war, it implies a much greater scale involving larger numbers of people, many different places, not just one little skirmish or battle, but an organized deployment of forces over large areas with strategic planning, centralized control and communication, all these things. And as time's gone on, all of this has become institutionalized into the bureaucratic and governmental structures of all modern-day countries. I don't think there's a country that exists that doesn't have a military of some kind. That was a big wave. And a Department of War that they would actually call the Department of Defense. And in addition, the military and all that involves, the technologies and preparations for war, the personnel, the machines, the weapons, all of this represents the sum total of what we loosely call the military-industrial complex, which is in itself, by many orders of magnitude, the largest business enterprise on this whole planet, dwarfing the entire civilian economy. So war, the concept of war, is intimately related with all things military, the military-industrial complex, the weapons industry, our propensity for killing, institutionalized violence. I think it's very interesting that one of my favorite minds of the 20th century, Dr. Emanuel Velikovsky, who was a psychoanalyst, a student of Freud, a colleague of Carl Jung and Adler, other famous psychological minds, who branched off to do his own thing. He was looking at the psyche of humanity. And he observed that our ancestors all over the world had been repeatedly traumatized by planetary level catastrophic events of cosmic celestial origin, like cometary or asteroid flybys or impacts, bombardment from space by cosmic rays, all different kind of things like this, but that this is had happened so many times in the history of our ancestors that we were traumatized by this, and that we thought of it, and actually ancient writers and storytellers wrote about this, and they called it, Velikovsky calls it theomachy. That's T-H-E-O-M-A-C-H-Y. Theomachy means war of or between the gods. So when our quote-unquote primitive ancestors might have seen discharges of electricity, like interplanetary lightning going between two planets up in the sky, that may well have been a lot closer than they are now. But imagine looking up in the night sky and seeing two giant planets looming there and bolts of lightning discharging between them, what that must look and sound like, and the fear and awe that it would engender in everybody. Well, I think our ancestors have witnessed that, and a lot, but we called it war between the gods. So this could very well be the inspiration for our species to emulate these gods of destruction, of celestial destruction, by creating extremely advanced weapon systems, using every advanced technology that we can come up with to imitate or emulate or mimic all the things that we saw the gods doing, which were primarily destructiveness. Bielakovsky says that when the rulers of ancient Assyria, for example, when they went out into battle, they said, you know, they even wrote that their goal was to emulate the gods in their fields of destruction. You know, they want to call down some lightning and thunder and blow some stuff up and make the earth split and shake and make the cities fall down and all that stuff. So man has been trying to imitate the gods or nature from day one. So in the world of today, a lot of people think, ah, everything's fine since we're not at war, because World War III hasn't happened, and we're basically living in very peaceful times. And maybe in the sense of, if you compare it to the highly visible and global organized violence of the world wars, World Wars I and II, maybe the Korean War, back further in history. But, you know, I guess these times do at least seem to be peaceful from the perspective of traditional warfare. But you've got to look at all the smaller scale, armed, institutionalized, strategically orchestrated conflicts that are going on all around the world, and these are just the ones we know about, the ones you see of and about in the news. So for every one of those, there's probably dozens that we don't see or hear about, in the same way that every stranding of whale or dolphins that we see or hear about is probably only a very tiny percentage of all that have happened during that same amount of time. I think of war as the oxygen of civilization. It's kind of like a pervasive environment in which civilization exists. And I guess one of the biggest things that I've tried to do is to redefine or expand the definition of war to be not just organized military actions on large scales, but also war is literally what human civilization is inflicting on Mother Earth and all our family of life. And I've talked about the Hopi prophecy on this show many, 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 many times, and how in 1986 I was at a place called Big Mountain in Arizona and met Thomas Bunyaka, the chief Hopi elder of the day, and he was telling us about the concept of Koyaanisqatsi, life out of balance, and how that was a time of war. And weapons and destructiveness, and that the only way that Koyaanisqatsi was healed was through the Day of Purification, a time when Mother Earth cleanses herself of that which is out of balance with life through what humanity could think of as Mother Earth and the Great Spirit waging war on us. If you want to look at it that way, that is how we think of it. We think we were under attack by the forces of nature that were doing their best to get rid of us. And this will happen. I'm certain of it. But to me, war really began when we started living in civilization and started violating the Hopi prophecy that said, if we dig precious things from the land, we will invite disaster. That, to me, that's the origin of war. Organized, institutionalized, strategically deployed warfare is the digging of precious things from the land, and we've invited the disaster of the military-industrial complex and all that that entails. And sure, before that, you know, we might have had armies might have existed, we might have had battles and conflicts and killing, mass slaughters and genocide and stuff, but not on the scale that you'd really call war. So civilization and the digging of precious things from the land have in fact made the concept of war possible. And it's just spiraled down and got worse and worse, because the more precious things we dig from the land, it's like we're shedding the blood and destroying the body of Mother Earth through all the hydrocarbons we're pumping out, and all the gold, the precious metals, and the iron, and the stone, and the diamonds, and the uranium. It's unbelievable what we're digging out of the body of Mother Earth and disrupting her energy flows, her nervous system, desecrating the sacred temple that we've been so blessed to be able to live within. But we've totally abandoned our true spiritual nature as a whole, that in which we're the guardians of the earth, and instead we become her most vicious tyrants, in the words of Joseph Wood Crutch. A viral infection, in the words of Lauren Isley, the Homo sapien macrovirus, as I call it. So I think that war is going on all around us. And I'm not just talking about the invisible warfare of technologies like the use of depleted uranium, the dissemination of synthetic radionuclides throughout the biosphere, because that, according to Dr. Ted Wyman, that is, in reality, the definition of nuclear war. Nuclear war doesn't have to involve exploding warheads and missiles and bombs. It's actually the dissemination of synthetic radionuclides throughout the biosphere, and that's been happening constantly ever since 1945. It's an ongoing process now. There's no reactor that doesn't leak. And this is kind of just like the side effects of the technology, although some people would say that that's been the purpose of nuclear weapons and energy all along, was not to blow stuff up, but to disseminate these radionuclides for the purpose of depopulation, of waging genomic warfare against humanity. So when we look at stuff like warfare, or I first came up with this type of concept in my research on what I call infotoxin, the psychology of mass media, the pollution of our media and information environments. You've got the alpha dimension, alpha infotoxin, or alpha warfare, that's conscious and fully premeditated, that's done totally purposively. But then you've got the beta infotoxin, or beta warfare, which is maybe it's the side effects of the way people are killed or life forms are injured or damaged as collateral damage or as side effects, but not on purpose. So I think that in the strategic world of today's Pentagon and all the think tanks, they fully understand alpha and beta dimensions of all the destructiveness. Supposedly, we're also living in the Kali Yuga, that's K-A-L-I, Y-U-G-A, the Kali Yuga, which is a season of the galactic year that is the shortest but also the darkest of all the seasons, lasting who knows how many thousands or tens or hundreds of thousands or even millions of years. We have no way of knowing when we try to put a linear scientific chronology on these periods of qualitative energy emanations. Kali Yuga is the time of war. And the Hopis have a word for time of war, Nikoyakatsi. So the indigenous people have all pretty much agreed that this is the time of war that we live in. So why do we think we're at peace? Because we don't see bombs going off all the time and missiles going through the sky, things exploding in our yard, limbs and heads flying around, and tanks rolling down the street, and machine guns. I mean, a lot of people do live with that. And if you turn on the mainstream news, you can see it every day. But a lot of us are able to walk around and pretend like we're living in peace. But if you define war as all the activities that modern Western man participates in that are systematically and institutionally destructive of our fellow life forms, then we're all soldiers in World War III. This is like a line from this poem I wrote. It's called The Return of the Lorax. It's dedicated to Dr. Seuss Theodore Geisel and his book The Lorax. This poem picks up where The Lorax leaves off. But one of my verses that The Lorax gave as a message to humanity, he says, Don't be a soldier in World War III. Park your car and plant a tree. Use the tube to educate. Leave the plants to vegetate. So we really are, to greater or lesser degrees, we're the soldiers in World War III. If you look at, for example, the automobile. The automobile and all the different infrastructure and systems and technologies and resources involved around it, from the hydrocarbons or even the electrical batteries that might be charging an electric car, where that comes from, what it takes to do it, the ecological impacts of that, all the infrastructure, the highways, the construction, all the deaths and killing and maiming and mutilation from accidents of non-human and human life. Each of these is a huge major form of warfare. But how many people get in their car and think that they're being a soldier in World War III? Nobody. But I think that that's the reality. And this is the shift in consciousness that I'm trying to affect by talking about this on my radio show. And another form of warfare is the meat industry. And any agriculture involving animals, dairy and meat industry is really a form of enslavement and warfare against fellow beings. If you think about it, how could it not be? So war isn't just atomic bombs, nuclear missiles. War is genetic engineering. War is microwave saturation of the human environment. War is the indiscriminate deployment of military technologies all through the world's ocean, waging war on the whales and dolphins, who are the ultimate indigenous people and a true extraterrestrial intelligence. That's the topic of most of my research and most of my radio shows in recent months, years, and weeks, is the war that we are, in fact, waging on life in Mother Ocean against our Ohana Moana, at whose very side I'm sitting right now. It's quite Orwellian for us to think that we're living in a world of peace. And so many people, I won't name any names, but a lot of people think that we're living in peace, and that, you know, if we could just get the armies of the world to stop blowing each other up, that we'll be able to be living in peace. But that's not the case at all. War is being waged against all our fellow life forms whose lives we're making impossible to live through largely technologies and conveniences and ways of living and patterns of consumption that we don't even question. But based on their technological nature, the resources that they require, and the scale on which that they're being done, all this equals war. War that's a karmic blight on our species. I've used the analogy before that because of technological advances in the modern world, the typical teenager of today living in an affluent society, through all the different conveniences and gizmos and technologies they own and the privileges they have and the financial resources at their command, their day-to-day life could be measured as almost an equivalent of a war conducted by or against a small village in medieval times. If you look at like the destructiveness of someone's automobile and their microwaves and the amount of meat that they ate and all the furniture they bought made of endangered woods and the electronics they bought made with slave labor in the third world. And, I mean, if you see where I'm going with this, so it's all the conveniences and consumptiveness and patterns of quote-unquote living that we take for granted that are our primary contribution and to our warfare against Mother Earth and creating the biggest karmic blights on each of us as individual members of Homo sapiens, i.e. man the wise. We justify all these activities in myriad ways using language. We talk to each other, giving each other reasons why we do all these things. But we might understand what each other is saying, but all the other fellow life forms, the whales and dolphins and everybody else on this planet, they might hear the sounds and see us moving our lips, but they don't know what we're talking about. All they see and feel, doesn't matter what we say, it's what we do or what we don't do. So they feel, they know us through our fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. They know us by the fruits of our actions and what we do. And we might say that we love the whales and dolphins, and they're very intelligent beings and magnificent creatures and beautiful animals and should be protected, and we'll give a lot of money to these organizations to protect them. But the reality is, we're waging war on them. Every time we get in a boat with a motor, with a propeller, with all the sound, all the underwater explosions from the seismic testing and the mapping of the ocean floor and the deep seabed mining and all the military torpedoes and the microwaves and the submarines and the underwater nuclear explosions and the shipping and the everything. Everything that we're... It's impossible for humans to be in the ocean without engaging in warfare unless we're there in a sailboat or as an individual person on a surfboard or a tiny little kayak or swimming. Any larger presence in the ocean is waging war on her. So really, to close, I'll say that even a more encompassing term than war would be the expression geoterrorism that I came up with in 2011 after studying both the Christchurch earthquake in February of that year and then Fukushima 3 weeks later in March of 2011. I came up with the concept of geoterrorism, which is really the main thing that modern humanity living in civilization is doing on Mother Earth. We're terrorizing the Earth. That's exactly what we're doing. We are the state-sponsored terrorists. We are the soldiers in World War III. We are the Homo sapien macrovirus as a whole. And I've said this a million times before, but I really think it's true. We don't have the ability to correct what we've done. Even if we wanted to, but we're not even showing that we want to. We've got the pedal to the metal of destructiveness. Mother Earth is going to do some house cleaning. The day of purification is going to come through probably means unknown to or unexpected by us. I felt that it might be from the impact of a comet, maybe a fragment from Comet Encke. Who knows? And this could come any minute. But the sad part is the collateral damage. Whatever Mother Earth and the Great Spirit have to do to get rid of us, it's going to take out a large number of innocent life forms, many of whom are already suffering because of us. But it's the only way Koyaanis Katsi can be healed. The only way the Earth can be cleaned is to remove the source of the disease, which is human military industrial civilization. But through all of our good actions, if we each strove to re-navigate our lives and simplify it, if we each sought to do our best to live simply so that others may simply live, and to ask every day when we get up, ask not what Mother Earth can do for us, but what we can do or stop doing on behalf of Mother Earth. This would mean so much, and it would, in the words of Thomas Benyakya, whose words have echoed in my mind, we can't avert the day of purification, but we can lessen its severity by all of our good actions and our living in harmony with life. So that's what we can do. By everything good that we can do now that shows a true love of life, of Mother Earth and our fellow beings, like giving up driving automobiles, give up eating meat, give up watching television. All this just really excessive, destructive stuff that we love that's really bad for us. If we did all this, not only would Mother Earth and the Great Spirit see in our hearts that we really did care, but also the severity of the purification would in fact be lessened. So this is the challenge before us. But thank you for listening. I'm going to go have my swim in the ocean now before the sun goes down. This is Jeff Phillips Weberson signing off here on the Big Island. We're getting ready for RIMPAC, or I'm calling it GRIMPAC, the grotesque Rim of the Pacific Naval War Games coming up here in about a month and a half. It's going to be... Now, what an oxymoron is that? War Games. That's a good note to close on. Don't be a soldier in World War III. Park your car and plant a tree. Use the tube to educate. Leave the plants to vegetate. Right. Good day.
In the valley of the jolly ho, ho, ho.
Quite perpendicular, but somehow clear.
Excuse me, sir, I'm a simian. Of turbulent trees, we've witnessed the end. Lack of behind us and the alien greed. No global shortage of disposable feed.
You're right, I exclaimed with my thumb in the air. I've hitchhiked forever, and still I'm not there. This beautiful earth, blue and green, do I love as ancestor spaceships return from above.
To know of the craft coming soon, I can see. Prepare to experience eternity. Angels of revelation drawing near to battle. Of killing and fear, the ships of sky people plant fathers of life. No to the person in the dark of night, humankind
in a condemnatory lifetime.
You subscribe this perceptions which you hold to be true. The forces of evil in your minds reside in the absence of love, your compassion, and soul. Fellow true beings here on the earth, you're totally clueless concerning your worth. Your planet's the nexus of life, water based, the genesis here of the grandfathers you've traced. The original blueprints of their dreams. Which is simple to hyperspace and particular. Remember the reason you're here.
Yes.
If not the earth, you can see how rather than the mother we purpose, she would find a way to teach all her beings you would destroy.
The earth, cleansing herself of the Homo sapiens, macro. Virus. Reeling in wonder and happiness arrived, I came to my senses and soon realized I knew of this being, not a thing, not a name, not the nature of this mysterious game. Pardon me, sir, I must know who you are. What you do, where you're from, how near or how far.
I dwell in these forms. Skies look like you, your assistant, a genie, we're from Phalion, too. Perfectly real, do you mean more facts? I guess you should know that I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees of all times and spaces, for all living beings, all phyla, all races, each myriad expression of creation.
Desire from the cellular nucleus
of the hot stellar fire, from my jelly advantage to dream from your swarms, the trilobites deep on Earth's ocean floor. Listen up,
Homo sapiens.
Please get a clue. You're spoiling the earth for us and for you. You're back in a web. Your bridges get shat. You're killing your own.
Yeah, listen to that.
Your infotons drive your world machine through the troublesome nation of your daily routine. That conscious jihad against nature is real.
Once you wake the fuck up, you're alive and feel your connection with life deep in your heart. We've all the same mother in the earth. Once you start, most of us, once you're running possessed, for more than the psychic of the obsessed. Now don't leave soldier in World War III. Park your car, plant a tree. Use the tube to educate.
With that, he was gone, vanished into thin air, and I, in amazement, was standing right there. I had just been informed with astute erudition by the voice of the Lorax of the human condition. So listen now, friends, unless I'm insane, we must each from harming the earth refrain. Our lives are a precious gift, yes, it's true.
On spaceship Earth, we're all passengers, crew. We're all passengers, crew.
We'll be right back. Thank you. Thank you.